Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to KVMR FM Nevada City. And it's time this afternoon for ZenTech, following Haynes Ely's Earth Mysteries, hosted by Glenn Farr, that's me, and also Paul Castro, which is, I believe, you.
I'm here if you can hear me. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. You're very low, so let me turn you up a little bit here. And you'll tell us where you're calling from. I know, but let's tell the whole studio and the studio audience, none of them, and the listening audience out there.
Okay, I'm in a town called Goodyear in Arizona, which is about, I don't know, 15, 20 miles from Phoenix, Arizona. And for that reason, today we've actually got a live video link out here, which everyone can look at.
Uh-huh. You know, I ran in here so late that I didn't actually have a chance to bring that up. So while I'm typing it in, why don't you tell folks about that link?
Okay. The link you can see if you visit the regular show's website, which is zen.kvmr.org, and it's also out on the main radio station website, kvmr.org, and it's a link to a live multicasting video stream that's provided by a service called ustream.tv, and we were turned on to this by Master John Button, the webmaster, enabling you to broadcast live video from a webcam to essentially any number of listeners. So we're going to see it today. I've got one viewer right now, which is the venerable John Button.
Okay.
And if you visit the website, zen.kvmr.org, or the main station website, there's a link to click there. And it will bring up your flash player. You shouldn't need any software. You should be able to see the video and hear the audio, just like YouTube, live.
Without even signing in, I've clicked on that, and we're going to look over here, and it says, live broadcast started 30 minutes ago, and there you are in Goodyear, Arizona, with your nice little readers on, and we've got you, we've got Mr. Button. Now, let's see, we have the chat over here, and is that because they have logged into the website, or do we need to log into the Ustream live in order to chat?
I'm not sure about the chat. Let's hold on just a second here. I've got the chat there. Can you see this? I'm typing in hello there.
I do. And then, okay, so I typed it in, and now they want me to put in a username. So I can either sign up or log in. I'm going to say log in under Glenn.
Right. What will happen with this for our viewers is that if you click on the chat screen as you're viewing the live video, you'll be able to chat with me as the operator here in Arizona, but not with Glenn, unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah, because it wants me to sign in. So apparently you do need an account with Ustream in order to sign in. Did you find that? Well, when I typed in Glenn and no password and said log in, I think so, because every time I type hello, I see it show up on the screen as Ustream user, and then it says username. But you know what? We have some business to take care of before we get to all that technical stuff.
We've got six viewers right now, but let's do the business.
Okay, well, I'm glad that people are out there listening and now viewing. Wave hi to everybody, Paul. Let's see how long that takes for Paul to hear wave hi. And then
KVMR FM and TV, Nevada City.
Uh-huh. And internet. Also serving the Truckee Tahoe Donner area on translator K286 AM, Truckee 105.1 FM, and as always, 89.5 FM here in the foothills. And we do have the community calendar coming up, so let's go ahead and list off some of those items that are going to be happening this week. At the Coppertop Lounge in Grass Valley, Wednesday, talk and book signing with Dr. Emmett Miller, author of Our Culture on the Couch, Seven Steps to Global Healing, plus live music. And then Thursday, singer Kate Fingerson. The information there, 274-2260. An international dance night features music by the Village Folk Orchestra and Women's Choir Padruski. And that's Friday, 8 p.m. at the Nevada City Methodist Church. Lessons at 7 p.m. For more information, 272-2149. Artist Mary Lou Faustro and writer Alan Faustro return to their creative roots in Nevada City. And let's see here. I'm trying to do two things that are wrong. So artist and writer, the Faustros, return to their roots in Nevada City. Well, they'll be holding a book signing, art exhibit, and reception Friday from 6 to 9 p.m. at J.J. Jackson's downtown Nevada City. They will talk about their collaborative book, If It's the Stories You Tell That Color Your Life. For information, 265-2644. The Nevada County Poetry Series celebrates the spoken word at its season-ending open mic. That'll be Thursday at 7 p.m. The show is at the Off-Center Stage at the Center for the Arts in Grass Valley. For information there, 432-8196. What Matters in the Old West is the topic of local author Chris Enns at the Historical Society's presentation on Thursday, November 19th. That'll be 7 p.m. The program is held at the Madeline Helling Library in Nevada City. For more information, you can check them out online at www.nevadacountyhistory.org. Troubadour Trouble with Stephen Holland, Bill Douglas, Kit Bailey, and Gary Upton is the featured band. That'll be Tuesday night, jazz night at the 5 Mile House, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. For information there, 273-5489. There will be a spaghetti dinner fundraiser for terminally ill baby Trevor Benso. It'll be Thursday from 4 to 7:30 p.m. at the Nevada City Elks Lodge. 12-month-old Trevor was born with a rare terminal illness, and his parents need monetary help to keep the baby comfortable during this time left with us. For information, 432-2280. And we've got Gerardo Balestieri and the night workers, including members of Fish Tank Ensemble. They'll perform Friday at 8 p.m. at St. Joseph's Cultural Center. For information, 272-4725. A show of handcrafting Justice Fair traded items from women in 20 developing countries takes place the next two weekends, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Foothill Flowers Gallery, downtown Grass Valley. For information there, 265-6415. Spiritual fantasy film The Valley Obscured by Clouds, featuring an early musical score by Pink Floyd, will play at the Off-Center Stage in Grass Valley. That was this past weekend, and I didn't check the cards, so I apologize for that. That'll be coming up. The Universe in Powers of Tens celebrates the International Year of Astronomy with telescope views, astronomy activities, film, and discussion. That'll be Friday at the Imaginarium of Nevada County, Grass Valley near Ridge Road, beginning at 5 p.m. For more information, 478-6415. This month's Lunch at the Crossroads takes place Friday at 11:45 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Grass Valley Methodist Church, with a free gourmet luncheon prepared by three visiting chefs from Chefs America in Sacramento. The event features live music by Outlook, plus free groceries and flu shots for those in need. For information, 274-3403. The North Columbia Schoolhouse is the site for the Temple Dance Festival this weekend. It'll be Friday, 7 p.m. There'll be a classical Indian temple dance, a temple tribal belly dance, Jade Pearl Collective, and more. Saturday will be a day of sacred dance workshops with performers. This is a benefit for the unification of Maya. For information, www.yogaalchemy, so it's yogaalchemy.org. Truckee's Backcountry Film Festival will be held Thursday, 7 to 10 p.m. at the Truckee High School Auditorium. The event is presented by Winter Wildlands Alliance to benefit Snowlands Network. For information there, online, www.snowlands.org. To submit your community calendar, event, or public service announcement, visit kvmr.org. We have an easy-to-use online entry form. Submit your request 2 weeks in advance, preferably more. Stop by the business office if you need assistance with submitting online. Go paperless, think green. The calendar is a public service of KVMR. And we do want to take a moment also to thank all of you for being member supporters of KVMR Community Radio. And also we want to offer our thanks out to Ohmsoft Technologies, a regional family-owned internet service provider focused on customer privacy by storing data locally in a secure environment, offering complete internet solutions for home and office. More information is at ohmsoft.com. Ohmsoft, the enlightened internet solution. So we thank them for their support also. And we are right back here with Paul. Normally I go into a bunch of music and kinds of crazy stuff when I'm doing the flea market here, but this is Zen Tech Monday. Every other week here, from 1 until 2 in the afternoon. And as we said earlier, Paul's traveling down in Goodyear, Arizona, northwest of Phoenix?
Yes, I had to think for a moment. You're quite right.
Okay.
Find it on Google Maps and Google Earth. It's a kind of a large built-up area in the southern part of the state of Arizona, which is called the Sun Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the sixth largest city in the world, so there's like 4 or 5 million people live in this area. So I'm on the northwestern edge of that, about 2 miles south of, 2 miles, 2 hours south of Sedona and Jerome, which I went to a few days ago.
I'm glad you did. I made that suggestion to, at least the Sedona suggestion to you, and I'm glad you were able to make it up there. I was there about this time last year, and it really was a beautiful, beautiful place to visit. I got up at sunrise and watched the sun come up over the mountains and light up the cliffs and the beautiful red rock there. It was really that part of it was a magical experience for me. Plus, visiting family was also a great and magical experience too. So you're going to be home tomorrow, but right now we've got the show. So,
sorry about that.
Oh, I didn't hear anything, so I think we're good.
Good, okay.
If people do want to write into us, they can write to zen.kvmr.org, and we'll get your email messages here live. I'm logged into my email in the studio, and I'm going to go ahead and sign up with the Ustream Live.
Okay, John tells me we don't need to sign up for anything. In other words, it's asking for an identity. All it cares about is that it's a name that goes through on the chat. So people can chat with me here. Let's remind listeners once again, if you want to see the video stream, not of KVMR, but of me here in Goodyear, Arizona, visit kvmr.org. John has put a link on the top of the page temporarily while the show's going on. So it's an experimental broadcast to see how many video listeners we can take on ustream.tv under the channel Zentech. Right now there's 9 viewers, so we're going well there.
Now,
and the link that you click on should open up a Flash player. You shouldn't need to install or do anything, and apparently you don't need an account. But if you want to chat, you may have to type your name in so that I can respond to you.
Well, every time I try that, it keeps coming back saying that I have to log in, and it wants a username and password or sign up. So
you can see the video there, right?
Yes, I can see the video, so we've got you there. Now let's see if this allowed me to get in. Hello, Paul.
All right. Well, we've got 10 viewers.
Now it says again, put in the username and password. So obviously I'm doing something wrong to try to get into the chat area. But at least I can see everyone else chatting there. Yes, just for a chat ID, you'll need to set up an ID. So John said you do need to set up an ID. Okay.
Okay, what it means then is presumably that you can actually see everybody's chat. It's not just me as the channel operator. Everybody can see everybody else's chat then, right?
At this point, yes, I can see it even if you don't log in, but in order to be able to chat, you do need to sign up. So I'm doing that now. It wants your email and your birthday. I'm not going to do that. So,
if you want to chat, log in. If you just want to see the video, you don't need to. And incidentally, I've got, there's never been more ways of communicating. I've got this video thingy going on. Thanks for the button. I've got Skype logged into KVMR895, and also we've got the email zen@kvmr.org. We've never been more connected, and I've never been further away doing the show, I think. No, that's not true. I did it from England once.
You've done it from England. How much further away have you been? You've done it from Costa Rica. That's not further away than England, though, is it?
I did it from Spain.
Spain, so that's...
Right now, according to Google, by road, I'm exactly 800 miles away by road from Nevada City via freeways.
Mm-hmm. And
via 5 and 10.
Via air flight, I think you're like 600 miles. It's quite a bit shorter.
That's right. And incidentally, that's a good point. If you go to maps.google.com, you can actually fill in the words to and from. So if you type in from Nevada City to Phoenix AZ, especially if you put in the two-letter state code so it's not ambiguous,
yes,
it's smart enough to actually plot those two courses. So in maps.google.com, you just simply do the wording from Nevada City 95959 to Phoenix AZ, and that should be enough.
Okay, good.
More than one line.
I know we talked late last week, and there was something that we said, we need to talk about that on the show this week, and like usual...
Let's remind people of the website, which is zen.kvmr.org, quite apart from the video stream.
Yes.
There's the notes about the show, which is what we mean to talk about today, I think.
Mm-hmm. We have 13 viewers on the video stream now. That's really great.
Oh, going up and up. I think word's spreading. So once again, kvmr.org, click the video link. It should work on a Mac, and it should work on a PC. It uses Flash, so everybody's got Flash, otherwise you probably couldn't watch YouTube.
Okay.
You will need a broadband connection, which is most people, about 80 or 90% of Internet users have got. So it should work for most people.
Yes.
It should even work up a satellite, because it's one way, there's nothing coming back.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I have to do TV things like this now, so it wave around stuff.
You've reminded me of what I wanted to talk about, and we have talked about this before, maybe even, actually we talked about it at the last show. And that is, help me out here, Paul. internet, a new provider coming online here in the Grass Valley area and over the next few weeks, setting up transmission from Wolf Mountain. So if you're line of sight to Wolf Mountain, the company name is, and that's why I'm having a problem, Paul.
Oh, man. Are we good? Are there any new Alzheimer's medications? That's what I want to know.
That may be what I need. I had the flyer at home, and I didn't bring it with me. And you tested them out over in Reno not too long ago. You were at an event over there at the convention, not the convention center, but out at the fairgrounds, I believe.
That's right.
And it's a company that is also up in Chester. I have used them before. And once I think of their name, I will...
Something like SmartLink, but it wasn't that, was it?
No. It's. I'm going to guess similar to what SmarterBroadband.com offers. We've had Adam Brodell in studio before talking to us about that. And
let's get back to that one. I think we'll probably, one or other of us will probably light a light or spark a spark at some point.
Right, or somebody may call in and remind us. We do have a couple of phone calls coming in. Would you like to take one of the phone calls now, Paul?
Yep, why not? Let's
okay, let's do that. Well, I'm going to push this next button and say, caller, you're live on the air with Zentech. What's your first name, please? Caller, you're live on the air. Go ahead. If you don't tell us your first name, we're not going to be able to talk to you. Hello,
say
caller.
John.
Did you say John? Okay.
No, I said they're gone. I don't think we've got them.
Okay. Then I'm going to go ahead and push the next button, and we'll take that caller. You're live on the air. What's your first name?
Susanna,
how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you, Glenn?
I'm good. Paul's here, too. Well, Paul's actually there in Goodyear, Arizona. You're here in Grass Valley, I think, Susanna.
That's right, and I've been emailing to Paul. I'm working with Hospitality House Shelter. I'm on their board.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this was a good place to ask. We are looking for someone to redesign our website. And I'm thinking the people that listen to this program, there might be some designers out there that might be interested in talking to us about that.
There certainly might. And people can check out your current website at
www.hospitalityhouseshelter.org.
Okay, so that's hospitalityhouseshelter.org.
And then there's a contact link there.
Okay.
And they could contact me and take a look at the website and make some suggestions, and then let's see what happens.
Okay. Tell us just briefly, many people probably know about Hospitality House already, but this time of year it's coming into being a very necessary part of the community. So give us a little brief introduction to what Hospitality House is and what they do, please, Susanna.
It's the homeless shelter for Northern Nevada County, and we have a day shelter, and at night the people who are in the shelter go to one of about almost 30 local faith communities who will keep the people overnight, give them a dinner, come back to the shelter, and we have a counselor there, and we have lunches and breakfasts and washing machines and clothes and all kinds of wonderful things, job opportunities coming in there. So it's to help the homeless in our community get up and onward with their life.
Okay.
We have a big event coming up December 19th at Miner's Foundry, too, and you can see more of that on the website.
Okay, that the 19th is coming up pretty soon. Which did we talk about that on the community calendar?
No, not yet. December 19th.
Oh, December 19th.
December
19th. It'll
right.
be next month.
The
then.
Night of Giving, yeah.
Okay.
But we really would love to do something interesting with our website.
Okay.
Okay, I've put the link up there, Susanna.
Pardon me?
I have put the link up to hospitalityhouse.org on our show notes, so visitors that go to zen.kbmr.org can see it, or else
thanks,
go straight,
Paul.
To hospitalityhouse.org. There you go, my dear.
All right, have fun in Arizona.
Thanks for coming in, Susanna.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. And you, too, can call into the show, 265-9555. That's our local number, 1-800-355-5867. It's toll-free from other parts of Northern California. And you can talk to Paul or myself. I'm in the studio, and Paul is here courtesy of VOIP from Goodyear, Arizona. And you're making a call, or you're doing text messaging there, Paul?
You can see the thing. I thought it's amusing is the fact that it's a TV thing that it's actually possible to show what we're talking about. So just for the heck of it,
there's an iPhone.
What Skype looked like on an iPhone, just for the heck of it. This is apropos nothing in particular. Let's see how well that shows there. I mean, that's what's possible now using this tech TV sort of interface. It's much easier to say, well, you know, what does Skype actually look like running on an iPhone? There it is signing in.
Yeah, I can see the clouds and the blue background there. Now,
I
don't know if I've ever used Skype from my iPhone. You can't watch me do this, folks, but I'll go ahead and sign in from here. Both Paul and I require a high-speed internet connection in order to connect to the internet and use things like Skype or Google Voice mobile free. And let's see, I'm not even sure which page my Skype is on. So there it is. I've got to find that before signing in. We do have a caller coming in, so how about if we take that?
Wait, let's do that.
Okay. Caller, thanks for calling in. You're next here on Zentech. What's your first name?
Hey, my name's Dave.
Dave, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Hey, thank you for showing us all this nifty thing. This is very cool. I like what you're showing me, and I'll have to check this out a little thoroughly. I just signed up, so now I should be able to chat. And it really was very easy to sign up, and it looks like it's synced up with at least Twitter. So that's very cool, because I'm now using Twitter and LinkedIn. LinkedIn just added Twitter, so that if you update your LinkedIn, it automatically does Twitter, I believe. But this is very cool.
Isn't it?
I have a separate thing that I was interested... Yeah, this is Dave Duggan. Hey. Hi. How'd you know that? That's cool.
Paul is an all-knowing person.
Yeah, apparently. That's
I'm not
cool.
sure
hey,
about
Paul.
The difference between omniscient and omnipotent. I just try to be both. What I actually knew was that we are using Ustream TV here, and I'm not using Twitter or any of those social media marketing things, but you can link in with that, so it becomes part of that whole business. For this show, I haven't done it. So.
Yeah.
And believe me, this is experimental work. It's the first run from a suggestion made by our webmaster, John Button, because for a long time, we've been looking at some means of broadcasting picture-wise what's going on, and normally the bandwidth costs the earth. Well, Ustream make their money out of the fact that when the video comes up, you'll probably see little ads popping up periodically.
Yeah, there was something here about something in Sacramento, so it was specific to at least close to my location.
Right.
And
that's how they make the money. There doesn't seem to be, according to John, and what I can see, there's no practical limits to the number of streams that they'll do. So on this show, we've now hit 18. Let's remind listeners again, go to kvmr.org. John has put a link at the top of the very top of the principal website of the station, kvmr.org. Click on that, and you should be able to see live video streaming from Ustream TV. So what else you got for us, Dave?
Well, I did find a relationship. Now, see, this application we're using right now does involve Flash, as you guys know.
Right.
And so far, at least, my computer hasn't locked up. Now that I've said that, it probably will lock up on me. Because the thing I wanted to ask about is I've been having a real time with Flash locking up my browser, and then I can't do anything. I have to actually hard reboot the computer. And in some cases, when I was on Vista here recently in Internet Explorer, it would reboot the computer. I'm now on Windows 7, and I was thinking I was going to get away from those problems. I'm still having some of those problems depending on where I go. And I Googled it on the Internet, and sure enough, there was a lot of people having those problems.
At the same places that you go, Dave?
No, different places, different browsers. I had some indication that it might have something to do with the Flash setting as far as hardware acceleration, so I turned that off. I also
I'm sorry to interrupt. Before anything else, I would make sure you absolutely have the latest version of Flash you could possibly get. And actually, the version of Flash that was around before about 2 months ago is not only unstable, but vulnerable to being broken into. So you absolutely have to have the latest Flash plugin.
Oh.
And do we know which number that one is?
Give me a second here. If you want to find out what version of Flash and Fireworks you've got, use Google to search for the words Flash test.
Okay.
If you do Flash test, first result from Google will bring you up to Adobe Test, Adobe Shockwave, and Flash Players. and it will show you the version numbers of the shortwave and flash players. I'm doing that right now because I've never dreamed of telling anyone else to do it. And in fact, here's where the video link comes in useful. In my case, it says the shortwave player is version 11.5.2R602, blah, blah, blah. Actually, the flash player doesn't... Oh, there it goes. Yeah, version 10.0.32.18, it reports. So anyone later than earlier than that should upgrade. Sometimes when you visit that website, it will actually say, oh, look, you need an upgrade to flash. The Adobe site is smart enough to recognize the version and offer you an upgrade. Excuse me, an update.
Awesome.
Does that make sense?
It does, although when I install, I just installed Windows 7, and of course, you immediately get, you go out and you have to get a new flash player, so
right.
In theory, mine should be the most up-to-date.
Yeah, I never assume that, though. In other words, actually get it. I would never assume that. Go and get it to test. So right here, if the viewers can see this, I'm not sure how clear it is, there's the Macromedia flash player. And making weird noises, and there's its version number. What do you get? I get 10.0.32.18, which I know was put in about a week ago.
Right. I know when I right-click on the flash, it just says, flash 10.
Right. It's the sub-version numbers that are important. It's the major version number 10, but it's the revisions that are important.
Okay.
The flash test page is going to be the place to go, and it may be smart enough to say, that's out of date, get an upgrade.
Okay.
I would try that.
Flash is an important thing, and it's on so many, it's on like the majority of websites have some type of flash on them, whether people realize it or not, it seems like. In ads,
you know,
there's flash and that type of thing.
I'm recognizing one of the broadcasters and volunteers for KVMR called Antar discovered that if you have a CPU of less than 1 gigahertz, everything else works okay, but the flash player can't decode flash. It hasn't got enough horsepower, and it bogs the machine down because there isn't enough CPU to decode the video.
And in theory, Dave should have a fairly new laptop because this is one...
Vista, or Windows 7, rather. Yeah, it should be enough horsepower.
Yeah, I've got plenty of juice. I've got that shouldn't be an issue with what I have set up here.
Use Firefox. Use flash inside Firefox.
And that's one of the things I've done. I was really having a problem with Internet Explorer 8. That's what was really a problem. And I said, okay, let's try Firefox. And Firefox does seem to work better. And I'm actually just staying on Firefox now because if I go over to Internet Explorer 8 right now, boom, I probably wouldn't be able to view what we're looking at right now.
You go to Firefox, and then in the Google search in Firefox, say flash test, and quite often Firefox will come down without the plugins, and it will say, this browser is lacking the plugin, and you launch it from there.
Oh, okay. All right, so that what I'm hearing from you also is that you guys aren't having those kind of problems. And you're not really hearing from others that are having so many problems with flash.
One thing you need to realize, Dave, is most of us, or at least those of us around here, use Firefox almost exclusively. Unless a website expressly demands and won't run in anything but Internet Explorer, I never even start it. Ever.
Yeah. I don't, even though I'm a Microsoft guy, if you will, and there's a lot of things I like about Microsoft. I don't care for this new Internet Explorer 8. 7 was fine. I like that fine, but not this 8. Ugh.
But even with 7, you were having the same difficulty. So
no,
really? So it's only since Vista and your upgrade to Windows 7.
I think primarily the upgrade to the problems began with Internet Explorer 8, as far as I can tell.
Okay, and you upgraded to that when you were in Vista still Vista also.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I was on Vista for quite a while here until just recently. Now I'm on Windows 7.
Okay.
But the Internet Explorer. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Don't forget that Firefox needs a different plugin. Having Flash for Internet Explorer will not enable it to work in Firefox. You have to go through a separate process to get it. John Butler says here that. Under Firefox, you can look under add-ins, and it will tell you what version the Flash player is. John also says over 1,000 viewers have been seen on the same live stream. We're up to 18, so we shouldn't have a problem.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty good.
Awesome.
And he recognizes you as Dave Duggan, does John Button.
That does what? I'm sorry?
John Button recognized you.
Oh, awesome. All right. Cool, guys.
Okay, well, thank you very much for calling in, Dave. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for a great show.
Thanks. Bye-bye now.
Thank you.
It is 1:32 in the afternoon, and Jimmy Accardi's been going back and forth into the studio here, so he's all set to rock and roll and party this afternoon with you guys from 2 until 4. And then we've got Greg Jewett coming in with this afternoon's music magazine, Democracy Now!, after our evening news, which is at 6 p.m., Democracy Now! At 7. The Women's Show, presented by the Women's Collective from 8 until 10. And closing out the night, El Leon Reyes with salsa and Latin jazz from 10 until midnight. And then we're down to 17 viewers online with Ustream Live. You can go to kvmr.org at the top of the page. Our webmaster's put a little link where you can click and you can see Paul down in Goodyear, Arizona. Maybe in a couple of weeks, Paul, when you're live in the studio. If you're live in the studio in a couple of weeks, we'll be able to see you live here. I'm always camera shy, so anytime a camera gets turned on, I duck.
I've just had a great idea, Glenn. It's kind of boring looking at my ugly chops, so I'm actually going to go and walk out the back here.
Okay.
Let's see how good the wireless is. Whoa, you know what? It would really help if I unplugged the power. There we go.
And I'm going to try something, because I turned on the turned up the volume on the computer a moment ago. Would you keep talking for a second?
Yeah, I might have busted the video, but I just did. No, I didn't. That's fine.
Because you're also broadcasting on Ustream. It sounds like you're broadcasting audio,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I might have busted the video.
You sure are. So it's coming in a little bit later, so that's why when I tried to bring up whatchamacallit in the background a little earlier, Fractal Zoom by Brian Eno, I was getting you with a few second delay broadcasting there from Goodyear, Arizona. So because we have the volume from this computer that I'm watching you from set to the board, we can't listen to you here, but people who could actually listen to you, probably be best to listen live on the air as opposed to through the Ustream video broadcast. And we see some wonderful topiary in the background, lots of greenery, which is so surprising to me for the Arizona area.
Well, it's all drought-tolerant stuff, and, you know, this is material for the Zentech show, but this place gets 2 to 4 inches of rainfall a year. It qualifies it as a desert.
Mm-hmm.
So they're smart enough down here to some extent not to attempt lawns or anything like that. So if you look out the back here, see if I can get the camera set up right. There we go. I'm trying to set up in such a way that I'm not walking backwards.
And you're using your camera and your laptop, so it's a built-in webcam, correct?
It's not a built-in one. It's a Creative Live webcam. It's got pretty good quality.
Oh, okay.
There you go. That's what it looks like there. I can walk around a bit. We're on a wireless link, so I'm hoping I won't get too far away from the signal.
What I thought was thinking was topiary rocks, so there you go, and then some wonderful cacti and desert plants down in Goodyear, Arizona.
Yeah, it's all drought-tolerant stuff. Apparently the town got its name Goodyear from the fact that before the First World War, the Goodyear Tire Corporation used to make tires out of cotton rather than rayon or steel.
Mm-hmm.
So they made a huge plantation here of cotton fields, and they are still around, for use in material for the First World War. By the time the Second World War came around, synthetic silk and steel came along, and the synthetic silk was in the form of a material called rayon.
Uh-huh.
But back in the First World War, all they had to strengthen the rubber material and stop it flying apart was braids of cotton.
Okay.
Yeah, I forget what its name from. How are you liking the little tour I'm giving you here? Ouch.
Oh, it's kind of hot down there. It's a good time to remind people that it's 65 degrees here in Nevada City. Actually, you know, our little thing says 75.9, so I'm not sure if that's correct. But you're probably heading toward the 90s down there in Arizona, right?
It's been a bit cooler. When I first got here, it was in the 90s in Sedona. This area is about 1,000 feet above sea level.
Mm-hmm.
Where I went to Sedona is 5,000-6,000 feet above sea level, so it's much cooler and very pleasant, but it wasn't sunny. And then I went to Jerome, which is even higher up, but that's on the side of a valley about 25-30 miles away from Sedona. So anyone in this area, I definitely recommend visiting the old copper mining ghost town of Jerome. Wonderful place.
Okay. John Button was offering a commentary here. It's like, ooh, getting sick. Steady, man, steady. So he's getting...
Camera sick
watching you.
this particular camera, I haven't installed all the plugins, but there is actually a Steadicam plugin that morphs or merges the images so you don't get that kind of drunkenness going on.
And how about the would there be white balance and light adjustments that would, when you do put it out into the bright light like that, for it to adjust appropriately?
Yeah, and if you look, Arizona's an hour ahead, which is why that clock says the time it does.
I'm glad that you thought of that for getting hold of us, although I called you instead of you calling me. You know what? We've got somebody who's been very patiently waiting online or on the phone, so let me go ahead and push next, and we'll take this caller. Good afternoon, caller. You're live on the air with Zentech. What's your first name?
Hi, is that me?
That's, well, I don't know. Scott, it's you.
Yeah. This is just kind of a silly question. I tuned in a little late, and I'm hooked up to the live stream from Paul. And hi, Paul. You don't look like anything like what I pictured you.
What am I supposed to look like?
But I was wondering, I can hear him fine, but I can't hear what you or any callers say through the streaming. Is that the way it's supposed
That's
to be?
That's normal.
Yeah, through
That's
the,
normal.
Through the streaming, you just have the mic headset, that, or actually the camera mic that Paul is talking into.
Okay. That's all.
Okay, well,
Thank
Scott,
you.
Thanks for calling in.
Sure.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. And you, too, can call in 265-9555, 1-800-355-5867. And Mr. Dugan says, what application are you using to know who is calling in by their phone number? We aren't using an application for that, Dave. John just recognized your voice. So it
right,
was,
he typed in the chat screen and I read it off is what happened.
Right, right. So that's how the mystics here at KVMR's ZenTech knew who you were. We don't have caller ID on our calling system. If we did, I believe it would probably show through when we used the internet to look at our Comrex system, which I normally do from the other side of the broadcast table here. Today I'm pushing all the buttons and doing all of that for y'all. And normally I'm on the other side while Paul's doing all the fancy engineering, and then I control the phones via my computer. And we go to the Comrex there, and I can even put in notes and stuff to anybody else who would be looking at that same screen on the computer, saying, you know, it's, you know, Dave from Grass Valley calling about. So that's how folks like Mr. Limbaugh and gosh, who else? Tom Sullivan, Dr. Dean Adele, all of those folks who do talk radio. You know what I listen to. they all, that's how they know what's going on, because they are being fed information either through their headset, but more likely today in the computer age, on their computer screen. When I used to engineer for Rory Ruff back with, I believe it was called Ruff Mix, back in the mid-90s, I was in the other studio with a whiteboard, and Bruce Stone had set up a little hinged thing on it, and I'd take the call and I'd write on the whiteboard, okay, line one is so-and-so, and then I'd flip the whiteboard into the window, and then Roy would know who it was calling in on line one and what their topic was. So we were able to be a little bit technological there, but we've made some great strides and advances since then.
Okay, here's something I should remind listeners, and that is when Susanna Wilson called in mentioning the website Hospitality House that's looking for a webmaster, if you're able to do that, please contact us in the normal way, which is zen@kvmr.org. We'll forward the requests, or you'll see information on the website itself, hospitalityhouse.org, about how to contact them with your good-natured contribution of some kind of webmastering skills, basically so they can put up news about events that are going to happen. I think they're happy with their website. It's just some kind of updating that they need.
Okay. So,
and there's more. Sorry, Glenn.
Not a total recreation, just some help with updating the website. So,
I understand it, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm looking at the show site for today, because a thing not to miss is that tonight at about 1 a.m. for anyone that's up and about, and if the has the sky been clear there?
It has been, and it, I believe it's going to be tonight. I mean, it's beautifully
Good.
Clear outside right now.
Yeah, we've got a wonderful link to the ability to view the Leonid meteor shower, which is one of the larger ones, and this is an outrageous burst of meteors that come through the atmosphere, possibly tonight at the rate of up to 300 or 400 per hour. That's optimistic.
Wow.
If you're up early Tuesday morning about 1 a.m., you'll see 160,000 mile an hour visitors, because the Earth is closing with the trail of the comet. So the trail of the comet's traveling our way, and we're traveling its way, and the closing speed is 160,000 miles an hour.
So that's under the show notes for November 16th?
Yeah, it is, and it takes you to a link on NASA which tells you best observing conditions. California is not the best part of the Earth to see this, but you should have a reasonable show. So there's a link on there to that one for this this very morning, 1 a.m., if you're up.
Okay, and you've put a link up here. Boy, your homework is wonderful. USB version 3 is out, compared to benefits of the FireWire. So if people have an interest there. We do have a couple of folks on the phone, so let's go ahead and take our next caller. What's your first name, please?
Hi, my name is Laura.
Laura, how are you this afternoon?
Good, thank you.
Good.
I'm sorry, I'm not calling about the tech informational show that you have going on right now. I really wanted to know who the last speaker was on the positive thinking, positive reinforcement. Mike didn't catch the last name.
Okay, I don't know who that was.
Is there a way to listen to that online? Do you guys have it recorded or anything?
No, we have the information backed up here for archival purposes here at the station. Your best bet would be if you could call into the office, 265-9073, and leave a message for Dr. Ely, and then he can get back to you with the information about that speaker and the possibility of making a tape available. I do know that he has the often recorded his shows, and they are available.
Okay, great. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Incidentally,
bye-bye.
What you can do in a situation like this is the broadcaster's name was Haynes Ely, and I'm pretty sure every broadcaster has got some way of contacting them. So I looked on the KVMR website under Haynes Ely, and it gives you the name of his show there, and actually it doesn't give information about how to reach him. If you use our website, normally there'll be some way to contact the broadcaster.
And if this is not always the case, but if you were to write to Haynes Ely at kvmr.org, that may quickly get to him with a link through to his email, or someone here in the office, not actually the office, one of our broadcasters, another great volunteer, Brian Lee, forwards those emails that come in to the appropriate folks. I get two or three a week from him that didn't get addressed to either Glenn Farr or Flea Market or Zen at kvmr.org. So often...
Good question.
Yes, it is a good question, and I apologize that we don't have that information. And unfortunately, as I was driving in, I was not listening to the show, so I didn't know who the speaker was. But we can certainly find that out for you. Let's go ahead to our next caller. I'm going to push them and just take them live. Live on the air, you are. Caller, what's your first name?
Susanna. Hi.
Susanna, you're back.
Yes, I wanted to correct something that Paul had said. We are looking for a complete redesign of the hospitalityhouseshelter.org website. Updates were okay.
Okay, so a complete redesign. You're looking for something new and,
yes. And better and all that. And if I talk to somebody, I can tell them kind of what we need.
Okay.
Understood. Okay. Thank you, Susan.
Well, thanks for calling in to clarify.
Thanks, Paul. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There was a chat question here from, I forget who it was, and they wanted to know what the application looked like. So I've actually pointed the camera back at the Ustreamer, which is the piece of software that's used to control it.
Mm-hmm.
If you look on here, this is all driven in Flash. It's coming up on a web page. There's a sample of being set down and pointing at it. There's some information, and there's actually a start and stop recording. So the show is being recorded. I pushed the record button. So it's archiving an AVI of the show. Down here, you can see a little VU meter, because this camera has a microphone in it. So you can see the VU meter operating, meaning it's telling you the volume that's coming out. And here it says that we're using, as a video source, the live camera. And the audio source is a USB audio device, which is inside my camera. And then there's a couple more settings. It's actually pretty straightforward to run this. And that's what it looks like from my point of view as it runs.
Okay. And bear in mind also that if you do want to go and look at that, if Paul makes that video stream available, you're only going to hear Paul's part of the conversation because that's all that's coming through on that video stream is his speaking into the microphone. Now also, we have a note from Mr. Button. He's adding Haynes Ely's email to his bio page now. So if you'll give just a few minutes, says
it's
on his program page, but accessible from our weekly program schedule. So there are various ways. So on his bio page, he's putting a link, and then if you go to the program page for Earth Mysteries, and also on the weekly program schedule for Mondays at noon, you can find a link to Haynes Ely there also. So we've come up with a technical answer for you.
Okay. Let's talk briefly, Glenn, about USB version 3. It's going to be an issue next year, not this year.
Okay.
We went through version 1 of USB, 1.1 of USB, version 2, which is what most people have got that goes up to, who knows what, 400 megabits per second or something. This is called super speed USB, and it can go up to 5 gigabytes per second, which is 10 times faster than high-speed USB 2. What do you do with that speed? Well, there's several things you can do, and this page lists it. More than anything, it means that USB 3 is capable of addressing individual devices, so you no longer end up with the situation where a couple of devices will soak up all the bandwidth through a hub.
Mm-hmm.
And there are an extra two wires in the cabling scheme to
okay.
run USB 3.
And are the extra two wires there because of the extra speed that it offers?
Yes, it is, and the intention is to provide dedicated receive and transmit lanes because a device can transmit and receive simultaneously. Therefore, you can communicate faster and save power. So it's not transmitting and receiving over the same pair. You get a discrete pair for each part of the job.
Okay.
So there's quite a lot of design changes, so it's not going to appear until next year at some point. As far as I can tell, it's not a what they call I forget what the name of it is. If you have FireWire, you can daisy chain. That's it. Daisy chain things one onto the other. USB is still a hub technology. So in many cases, even if speed were not the issue, chaining them onto each other is a more efficient way of doing things because you can go up to 127 devices as long as you've got enough power. I'm not sure USB 3 will be able to do that.
Okay. Now, I wonder if a USB 2 item will be able to be plugged into the USB 3 plug, or will this change the form, fit, and function totally?
We maintain backward compatibility with existing USB drivers, it says.
Mm-hmm.
So developers can use the same drivers, but it doesn't mention, I'm assuming, it would be crazy if it were not backward compatible because USB 2 is backward compatible with 1.1 and 1.
Right,
it doesn't
right.
say it, but I'd assume so. I don't know if they got a special different connector.
Okay, well, let's hope not, because then, because that's been the nice thing about USB as it has evolved, is it stayed the same connector with just, you know, bigger and better functionality.
And if you're an engineer, you can go to USB.org because it's a consortium of hardware manufacturers and software designers that do this. But you can expect a fairly technical treaty if you go out to USB.org. The link we've got is actually out to an article on ECN Mag.
Okay. We have one more call coming in. It's 1:49 in the afternoon. Let's take this call, Paul, here at KVMR's ZenTech. Caller, you're next on the air. What's your first name?
Ford.
Thor. Hi. Hey, you're very low, Thor. Are you on a speakerphone?
My headset. How is that?
Much better. Yeah. If you could actually pick up a regular handset, that would be better. But if you continue to speak closely into the headset, that'll work.
Okay, this is as good as it gets right now.
Okay.
I had a tip for the caller who wanted to know who Haynes Ely's guest was, or the speaker. That's Mike Dooley, D-O-O-L-E-Y.
D-O-O-L-E-Y, first name Mike or Michael. So that
Mike,
was,
yeah.
Okay, that was Haynes Ely's guest during the lunchtime hour. Thank you for calling in with that.
Oh, yeah, and I had another thing, too. The caller, Susanna Wilson,
yes.
called in. Yeah, I do websites for people, and for the last couple of years, I've been having great success with WordPress websites, you know, simple content management. It makes it really easy for the people to take charge of their own websites, which I've been finding really helps for them not to lie fallow, you know, so they actually are getting new content and excited about getting new content. And then it also boosts their confidence so that the content creators are the ones who are in charge of their own world, their own website.
Okay.
I'm looking at this WordPress.org.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That simple blog setup, but there are some modifications that you can do. You guys probably know that make it into a quite capable content management system.
Okay, let's suggest that, and Susanna, to try that, which is I'm looking at WordPress.org, and I think it's Catherine Schultz up here actually specializes in designing or integrating, rather, WordPress websites. But let's leave it at that at the moment. I'm not too familiar with it, but the website WordPress.org says quite a bit about it, so we'll lead off in that direction. How about
and
that?
Will you go ahead and contact Hospitality House? What's the webpage? Hospitality House.
.org.
No, there's another word in there before it gets to .org.
Hospitality House. Shelter.
Shelter.org. So will you give them a contact them, Thor?
Yeah, sure. If you're asking me, I would be happy to.
Well, you had mentioned earlier that you know how to design web pages, and if you're able to help, that would really be great.
Oh, yeah, I've been doing lots of that. I had one more thing to add about the USB
yes.
deal. You know, the connectors are great, and I would not want to see the actual physical interface change because then people could not plug in their legacy USB 1.1 and USB 2 devices. However, have you guys ever noticed that whenever you go to plug it in, I do a flip, a 50-50 flip. So first time it doesn't fit, I flip it over. then often
everybody's time. Oh yeah.
I always look because on my very first laptop, I actually damaged one of the USB ports by trying to force it one time, and that was we're talking 1998, so it was all very very new at the time.
Yeah.
So I always like I tilt down up for my glasses so that I can look with my nearsighted eyes and I see the open side. And on most laptops, at least, it's the side that's open that's not covered with metal. When you look at the two little oomphs, because I look at it from the top, not from the edge.
That little guide tang, which is a little piece of porcelain or white plastic that guides the USB plug, they break off rather too easily for my liking.
Yeah, so
yeah,
and then
it's broken too inside there. And they still continue to function. They're built pretty solidly, but I've seen where the tang is completely gone and there's just four little metal fingers poking up. FireWire is worse though. When you plug, it is possible to try to force it in backwards and then the voltage shorts out.
You do need quite a big mallet to do it, but it's worth it.
And there is another thing that's been happening too, and that's I have a new mouse that I'm using, and it has the little short USB plug-in. And actually, I never even take it out of my computer now because it would be very hard pressed for me to catch on that and bend it or break it. To where normal USB plug-ins are an inch or inch and a quarter long, and they're just designed for you to get leverage at the end of that and to bend it, break it.
It's a big long lever. By the way, I love the really short ones also. So
yes.
I have a wireless one like that. But then there's another problem with the longer connectors. Yeah, it's like a big lever. And if you knock it on anything,
if you're resting your laptop in your lap and it's kind of resting on that or resting on the power plug. And Paul and I, in the kind of computer work that we do, we see all too often that the power plugs on the USB ports are the things that get damaged very easily. So at least for me, with my laptop, I don't rest it on either of those leverage points.
Yeah, here's something that's emailed in by Jeff Carver to zen@kvmar.org. He says, I take white out and mark the label side so I can figure out which side is up. They've got a very faint mark on them, but if every time you get one of those things and you paint it or make it distinct in some way, stick-on dots usually fall off, but whiteout's the best trick, as Jeff says.
That's exactly perfect. That's what I use on my cell phone stuff. Usually, like you said, there's a marking on there, and if you get that whiteout down in there in between those crevices, you're never going to mark it off, and so it does make a great thing. So Jeff, thank you so much for your hint. I haven't even been checking my Gmail, so my apologies, and thank you, Paul, for checking yours. Actually, he must have written, there he is, okay, USB plugs. So at this point, we have to talk about heading out. So Thor, thank you for calling in. I want to thank you very much for doing that. And we do also want to thank all of our listener supporters for their ongoing support of radio here at KVMR FM Nevada City. And for their support, we also want to offer our thanks out to OhmSoft Technologies, a local internet service provider focused on customer privacy. OhmSoft donates a portion of proceeds to the Davis Community Network, providing internet and web resources to nonprofit community groups throughout Yolo County. Information at dcn.org. I do want to invite you all to pay attention to zen.kvmr.org. And when I remember the name of digitalpath.com, we'll put that up there. It just came to me as I started to talk about it. That's going to be the relatively new wireless internet provider via line of sight. They have some new equipment going up on Wolf Mountain. It looks like that's going to be a solution for me, finally, where I live off of Gibney Lane in Alta Sierra, right there at the beginning of Alta Sierra. We don't have cable coming up the road. They've got DSL at the bottom of our little street, but not at our end of the street. And satellite is just too big of an investment for my landlord to make. There is an investment through digitalpath.com of equipment that goes on your roof. But they advertise 3 megabits per second service. No limitations on the amount of bandwidth you can use each month. And you can split it up. Once it gets into your house, you can put it to a router and share it among all the computers in your household. So, it looks like a DSL like service that's new and coming to the area. And you can check them out. I believe it's digitalpath.com or is it digitalpath.net, Paul?
t-shirt, digitalpath.com. I'm checking it right now. I'm putting it on the website. We've only got a few minutes to go. Can I check in a few more odds and ends before we go?
Very quickly. We don't have to our exit music. And if our wonderful Mr. What's your name? Mr. Accardi back here. Hey, you. We'll put in a CD. We can just go directly to that. Oh, he's going to put something. Oh, it says in beautiful gold with black lettering, Jimmy Accardi. And that's Jimmy with a double M and an I, not with a Y.
And so, quick news is there's a chemical sensor for the iPhone. You plug it into the iPhone and detect if it's nerve gas. We don't need to talk about that anymore, why you'd need it. There's an article here about checking whether Windows XP is broken or not. At the command line, you simply run SFC, which is System File Checker, /?, and it will tell you how to make Windows XP check if all its dynamic link libraries and things are intact.
Okay.
I'm recommending, third article, I'm recommending the latest Picasa version 3.5. That's a photo album software for the web, and if you've got a Gmail account, it integrates very nicely to show your pictures online.
I've got to talk to you about that one, Paul, but go ahead.
You don't like that. And the other one, which you mentioned, we didn't get to talk about, is how to launch Firefox and Internet Explorer so that they come up with more than one home page in tabs already.
Right. So, for example, when I log in, I want to go to my Gmail, my Yahoo, and my Hotmail all at the same time. You can actually have those three tabs as your home pages that come up every time you launch Internet Explorer or Firefox or Opera. Most all the browsers do that.
And you do it by going Tools, Set Home Page, and you go Set Tabs as Home Pages, right?
Yes. Or Tools or Options or Preferences, somewhere in that area. Paul, thank you so much for calling in. We called you, but being available from Goodyear, Arizona. Something fell. And we want to thank you all again for listening. Jimmy Accardi's coming up, and I do have a brief traffic note to let you know of. There are traffic delays on Highway 9 between LaBar Meadows Road this afternoon, or around the LaBar Meadows Road area this afternoon until 2 p.m., which is right about now. That'll be today through Thursday for the tree removal project that's going on for the next couple of weeks. So be aware of that.
That's on 49, did you say?
That's on Highway 49. And as I came into town, they had cones so that it was one lane each way, so everybody was slowing down to about 20, 25 miles per hour. So please do slow down when you see those signs indicating that there's road work going on ahead. And with that, I'm going to push the button and say, Jimmy, we're going to go to Rock and Roll Party right now.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.